On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Well, how are you doing today? Relax, relax. Take your shoes off. Why don't you take your shoes off? There you go. Ah, come on, take your socks off too. Go on, come on. We're friends. Sorta. A little bit. Not much. There you go. There you go. Bare feet. Nothing like it, right? Make believe you're on the beach. It's beautiful. Pebbles stuck in your little crevices. Nice. Nice. I went for a foot massage once. My counterpart said to me, you got to get a foot massage. It's like dying and going to heaven. And I said, I don't mind going to heaven if there's such a place. The dying part I'm not too thrilled about. So what does that have to do with my feet? She says, oh, it's wonderful, man. It's fantastic. So I go to this place, and I sit in this big leather chair, and this woman has me take my shoes and my socks off, which I thought was very, very promiscuous of her. And I couldn't understand a damn word she said. She did not speak English. Hey, if you're going to get your feet massaged, what's better than getting it massaged by somebody that doesn't speak English? It's fantastic. It's a turn on. I don't know what it is. She intimates that, because I can't understand her, she intimates that she's going to rub my feet, to which I nod my head. Now, I don't know what I just agreed to. I think it was that I was giving her permission to massage my feet, or we're married. I'm not sure which it is. So she starts massaging my foot, and I got to tell you something. I love massages. There's nothing wrong with them. But I've got some kind of privacy deal going on with my feet. I am the opposite of a foot fetish. Stay away from my feet. Don't look at them. Don't touch them. Don't pick at them. Leave them alone. I use them for one purpose and one purpose only, to keep me upright. That's all. That's all I use them for. I don't need them massaged. I know they carry the entire weight of my body, which, believe me, is a job that I couldn't undertake. I mean, I admire my feet. But I don't need people touching my feet. I don't think I need them massaged. If they hurt, like, I'll dip them in water or something. But I don't need people don't speak English prodding at my feet and touching my feet. My feet are very sensitive, I guess because no one's ever touched them before. So she massages the feet. And then she says something again. I don't know what she said, to which I nodded again, which I think I just gave up the rights to all of my children. I don't know. I don't know what I agreed to. She takes out this implement that looks like it came out of a Stanley tool chest. And it is looks like pliers or something. Looks like she's going to pull my teeth out. She goes for my toes. She's apparently, from what I can gather by her motions, she's going to clip my toenails. No. Look, I don't like people touching my feet. A. B. You're not going to be doing any kind of construction work down there. That's for sure. So I recoil. I recoil. I pull my foot back. Hopefully that is some type of a clue to her that I'm negatively enjoying this. She looks up at me. She mutters something, and I don't know what she muttered. I think she was questioning as to why I was withdrawing my feet from her hands, and I didn't know how to respond to her. So I took my hands and I waved them back and forth in front of her. That's the international signal for no, get away from me now before I kick you. International, it's international. She understands that. And she puts the implements down and continues to massage my feet. It starts to hurt. Did you ever go for a massage that was like, oh, that's wonderful? And about 10 minutes later, it's, ouch, that hurts me. Oh, ow. Oh, ow. Foot massage, not for me. Learn that. Not good.
Whatever.
morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. Later on in the program, a very interesting conversation with Sean Worthington. Okay, Ron. So, who's that? Is that the guy who, is he your butcher? Yes, he's my butcher. No, Sean Worthington is an inventor and a research scientist. That's impressive. That's something that I definitely cannot do. He is an inventor and a research scientist. I know. He's the inventor of a new currency. What? A new currency? Yeah. You familiar with Bitcoin? Yes, Ron, we are. No, Ron, we're not. I mean, it's a toss-up. I didn't know what Bitcoin was. I've never used Bitcoin. I don't purchase things online unless I'm using a credit card or something like that. I don't know what Bitcoin is. That's like going to a casino and you can't use your own money, you have to buy chips first. That's like going to a Renaissance fair and you can't get the turkey leg with cash. You have to buy these silly little Renaissance coin bit things. Then you always got them left over. And what do you do with them? I mean, what are you going to do with these things? I mean, you're going to prop up a chair if the chair is tipsy or something, one leg shorter than the other. Otherwise, what are these leftover Renaissance chips? What are you going to do with these little coin bit chips things? Renaissance fair. I enjoy Renaissance fairs because I'm confused, and I like being confused. I pay extraordinary amounts of money to make believe I'm in another era where people stink, they smell, they dress funny, they talk weird, they're barbaric, violent. I pay money to go to these things. And it confuses me because half the people are dressed like they're from another planet or another generation or something, from the Renaissance, let's say, and the other half are dressed in t-shirts and jeans. And it's like you're confusing the hell out of me. I don't know where I am anymore. It's like a time machine that blew up in my face. I get confused by these Renaissance fairs. Either everybody that goes dresses up like Renaissance thing to make everybody think they've really gone to another era. That might be fun. But as long as you got half of them walking around wearing t-shirts and baggy pants and pants that show their ass crack, I don't know how Renaissance that is. Now you're confusing me. Now I don't know where to look or what to do or how to talk. What the hell was I talking about? So the Bitcoin thing, big, apparently, big fad, and now it's starting to fade out. So Sean Worthington invents something to take its place and actually perhaps change currency as we know it. Because for all of you people who only deal on the internet, who live in the internet, talking about going to Renaissance Fair, you're going to the internet fair, you live in the internet, you're going to need some type of currency apparently. So Sean's invented that. It's kind of amazing because it's not just the invention of a monetary system. It changes society as we know it. Fortunately, I don't know it. I don't know society as you know it. So I'm good. I'm fine. I'm good with that. Speaking of cash, oh my God. Speaking of cash, here's the strangest thing of recent. I mean, every day there's strange stuff coming out of the White House. People with domestic violence in the past, people who go to bed with other people without even asking them. I mean, just horrible passing budgets with money that nobody has. Here's the latest from just today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Trump White House. Okay. I'm sorry, I can't help it. It's fun. It's fun on a surface level. It's disgustingly alarming on a deeper level. Again, too much going on for me to handle. Donald, whatever. I guess he's the president now, and he's announcing his $3.5 trillion infrastructure plan. In other words, he's going to fix the potholes. I mean, no, you got it. The bridges are starting to fall down. London bridges are falling down. Everything, bridges are falling down. Highways are cracking. It's just disgusting. So Trump has said that he's going to fix infrastructure, which is what Obama said when he was president. Remember that? There was a infrastructure plan there, which, you know, they did as much as they could with the money that they could appropriate for it. Here's the difference with Donald Trump. Apparently, money doesn't mean anything. Apparently, going bankrupt is the way to financially take care of all your woes. Trump's been bankrupt 4 times. His companies have, excuse me, let's be technical about it. Trump has been, you know, 4 times been bankrupt. The guy doesn't know the meaning of budget. He has no idea what that means at all. And you're not going to know what it means if you're going to launder your money through Russia. What do you care, right? $3.5 trillion. That's more than I have in my checking account. I don't even know how to write that number down. I don't know how many zeros are involved. I have no concept of what $3.5 trillion even is. When asked, but the budget doesn't allow for it, we don't have the money to pay $3.5 trillion in infrastructure. The response is, we'll get the money from somewhere. Mexico? Will Mexico pay for it? Through the entire campaign, Trump is saying, we're going to build a wall on the Mexican border and Mexico is going to pay for it. No, they're not. Yes, they are. The president of Mexico is, no, we're not. Yes, you are. Here we are, a little over a year into Trump's presidency, as strange as it is to even say those words together. And now we find out that Congress is passing a budget where we're going to pay for it, not Mexico. Oh, I see. Was somebody lied to? Was it me? Did you lie to me to get? Were you going to do like put 2 cars in every garage? So I vote for you, then I vote for you, and you say, I'm sorry, I was only kidding. I can't put 2 cars in your garage. Well, isn't that sweet? Now, infrastructure, trillions of dollars. Who's going to pay for that? We don't know. We have no idea. That's not the point. Why does somebody have to pay for it? Because, Mr. Trump, you're hiring people to do a job. You have to pay them. There are materials involved. It costs money. I don't know what that means. I have no idea. I don't pay people anyway. I mean, they do the job. I don't pay them. Ron, are you serious? You mean you hire people and then you actually pay them for what they did? What, are you crazy? Oh, I'm sorry, Donald. I forgot. It's not the way you operate. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what happens in the Trump White House. It's a fact. Fake news? No. Fake government. Fake government? No. Fake president? Yeah.
Listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well.
I've had to use it a lot.
Me too. Me too. It's the Me Too generation. Me too. 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 Have you been watching the Olympics? I have not. I didn't watch the opening ceremonies because I was scared to. Ron, you're scared of things? Well, actually, no, just people touching my feet really is about it. I don't want to watch, no. I remember watching the opening ceremonies in Beijing, China, and scared the hell out of me because it looked like they had millions and millions of soldiers goose-stepping together and forming different patterns on the field. And I thought, oh my God, here's what scares me about China. They're actually organized. They actually are organized. Look at the United States. We're not organized. We got a White House that lies and yells and screams and acts crazy and says stupid things, and they argue with each other, and Congress can't get along with one, and the president calls Democrats as stupid and treasonous and calling people names. I mean, I'm living in junior high school here, and yet I got the Chinese government goose-stepping and doing everything in perfect harmony. Uh-oh, something doesn't sound comfortable. So the opening Olympics there in South Korea, I was afraid that I would see the same kind of thing. So I didn't watch it. By the way, nothing's more boring than the opening ceremonies at the Olympics. They shoot off some fireworks. They do some high-tech kind of visual display. And then for 17 hours, they announce the countries almost in order alphabetically. Only I don't know whose alphabet they're using because this is the United States and not South Korea. So they introduce the countries and they wave, and this goes on for 17 hours, and nothing seems more boring to me than that. So I didn't watch it. I haven't watched the Olympics at all. I'm not into the Olympics so much. I'm not into winter sports. By the way, did you ever think that Seoul, South Korea had snow? I didn't. I thought it was always sunny and warm all the time. I had no idea. The only thing I know about Korea is like looking at footage of the Korean War, and I never saw any snow. So I don't know why. I guess they didn't shoot footage in the winter. So I haven't watched any. I'm watching little clips and highlights, and to be honest with you, doesn't move me off my seat too much. I'm seeing people skate on the ice, and then judges holding up cards with their opinion of how well they skated. No. I might enjoy certain sports, the fastest, the tallest, that kind of thing. But something where you're judging people, I don't, it's just boring to me. Just boring. Boring. And the other problem is that it's the winter here in the United States where I live, in the Northeast. I guess it is where you live too, but it's cold up here. It snows every once in a while. I'm not going to watch things that have snow in them. I'll watch things that have beaches in them and people running in the sand, because that's probably a nicer thing to experience than running around in the snow, falling down and having your car smash into a telephone pole on a sheet of ice. Not fun for me, not fun to watch. And then I watch, I saw some of the clips. We have, they're ski jumping, which is kind of fun because you're watching them kind of like fly in the air. They go off that ski jump and they're flying high in the air, almost hitting airplanes, you know? But I say to myself, and I watch them skiing down mountains, you know, speed skating, speed skiing, I don't know what that's called. These are daredevils. What the hell's wrong with these people? What possesses you to put skis on the bottom of your feet, ski off of some type of a contraption, fly in the air, and then land in snow? I mean, why? What are you doing? Why? And then the loogie or the luge, whatever they call that thing. Sure, put me in a little tube with little rails underneath on total ice and snow. Shove me down a course and keep your eyes closed and hope for the best. I mean, God. No, Ron, there's steering involved. in those little sleds. Oh, okay, fine, fine. Again, a fine choice of something to do. I find bowling very hazardous. Every time I go bowling and I'm stepping up to roll that ball down the aisle, I'm scared that the ball, I'm going to lose the grip of those three little holes in that someone drilled into the ball. Those things weigh like, they're like 50-pound balls or something. I don't know how heavy they are, 30 to 50 pounds of ball. You drop that on your foot, you got no foot left. So I consider that to be a very dangerous sport. Someone could get killed bowling. Anyway, that's why I don't watch the Olympics, for all those reasons that I just mentioned. But I suppose I'll get into it someday. And it's just very exciting for your country to win a medal. Oh, okay. That's like handing out bowling trophies down at the local bowling alley to me. It's just, good for you. That's nice. What does that have to do with anything? Well, Ron, it's diplomatic. You know, North Korea and South Korea actually have joined forces for the Olympics. Their two teams have merged, and they're competing just as Korea. And I think that's pretty cool. Obviously, it's being done by the North Koreans to pussy up to the South Koreans, so the United States is out of the picture as far as South Korea is concerned. That's the idea politically. But nonetheless, it's an interesting chess game, one must say. And today, Vice President Pence, soon to be President Pence, I believe, if there's a default, he said that the United States has no problem sitting down with North Korea and discussing things. Well, that's a turn of events. That only came when Pence went to the Olympics himself and saw that the Koreans are getting together and that the world is saying they can do it, but the United States just calls people by name, comes up with nicknames like Rocket Man, enters into conversation with a kindergarten kid. That's the United States' way of diplomacy. Well, I don't know if it works psychologically or if it doesn't work psychologically, but I'll tell you something. I guess I'm just damn sick of people running the world like they're children. And maybe someday we'll wake up to that reality, and I think that day is actually coming. All right, we're going to speak to our guest now. He is an amazing man, as I've been told. He's coming up with an entire new monetary system. I will admit to you, before we even talk to him, I know nothing about what he's going to talk about. I've never used Bitcoin. I don't know what it is. I would be nervous using it. So I'm not the person to do this. But this is my show, and I have no choice. So let's do this thing. Are you ready? Let's see if we can get him on the phone here. Hello. Sean Worthington joins us now. He's lead scientist and inventor at CloudCoin. And this is interesting. There's how old is the concept of internet currency?
Well, we've been trying to make an internet currency for decades. And one of the first ones was something called e-gold, and that's where they had these certificates that were based on gold that was kept in a vault. Right. Unfortunately, the state of California just kicked down the vault and took all the gold and ended it. So we've been trying for a while.
Huh. And I assume that the concept is constantly evolving.
That's right. One of the biggest evolutionary points was with Bitcoin, and that's where they created the first digital currency that didn't require, or at least had the physical integrity to withstand any government or any individual trying to turn it off or stop it. Yeah. So it was the first real digital currency.
Now, so you've been, as an inventor, you've been developing this this alternative, I suppose you would call it, called CloudCoin. How does that differ from what we're used to?
Well, there's some major differences. One of the differences is, in order to use Bitcoin, you have to have a user name, you have to have an account on the public ledger, you have to have a private key, you have to be able to log into it and change it. And with CloudCoin, all of the money itself has accounts. And so you can trade the money from person to person 100% anonymously. You can do it very quickly, and you don't have to have any passwords or public keys that you lose because the money has that.
Okay. Would this be similar to I'm an older gentleman. I'm not part of the upsurge here. Is this similar to going to, and excuse the lay terms here, but is this similar to going to an amusement park? They don't take money at the rides. You have to buy the tickets first, and then you use the tickets as if that was money.
No, money okay. has some very specific characteristics.
All right.
And, you know, if you could go to that amusement park
yes.
and just bring all of your own tickets or counterfeit them,
yes.
then you could go on all the rides for free.
I see. I gotcha. Okay. So this is also a matter of security, isn't it?
Yes. It really comes down to security in that when we make a monetary system, whether it's the dollar or gold or silver or right. Bitcoin or anything digital, we have to worry about counterfeits. We have to worry about losing them.
Yeah.
There's some security issues that are involved.
Yeah. I had understood that Bitcoin was falling from grace.
That's right. And so it seems that, you know, Bitcoin has gone through a bubble.
Yeah.
People saw a lot of folks making money. They got into it. They borrowed money from their credit
yes.
cards, from their houses. And now it's popping and going down.
Yeah. Ew. Okay. All right. How infiltrated into the acceptance market is CloudCoin?
So CloudCoin is very new, and it's just getting started. We're just mm-hmm. putting up the what we call the software development kits.
Yeah.
But it's the first currency that can actually be imported into software, such as video games. So we think it's going to be very disruptive very soon.
Wow. Okay. How does it hold its own compared to, let's say, cash currency, or is it always comparable?
Well, we've discovered that monetary systems are, in fact, information systems,
mm-hmm.
and that money is data. And what we've done is we've taken the rules that we use in computer information systems that we apply to data,
mm-hmm.
we have now applied it to money. And so we think that CloudCoin is the world's most perfect money, more perfect than the dollar, more perfect than gold, silver, or Bitcoin. And what this does is it makes a currency that has a very high value. It'll go up in value because it's not inflationary like other currencies.
Right.
There's a fixed amount of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we think it's going to be superior to everything.
Are there other things that are in development that you can talk about in relation to this new concept?
Well, we've created a new type of technology called RADA. That's the Redundant Array of Independent Detection Agents. It is like the Bitcoin mm-hmm. blockchain,
mm-hmm.
only it's different, it's got different properties, and it allows us to do a whole bunch of new stuff, including digital collectibles
uh-huh.
and any kind of counterfeit detection. We can actually embed nanotechnology into physical items, and we can then tell if those physical items are real or not. So it's a whole new counterfeit detection system that can be used for a lot of things.
Huh. So is the name of the game here fending against cyber attacks?
So that is, of course, extremely important. If I've got a digital currency and some hacker attacks it and it goes
mm-hmm.
offline,
mm-hmm.
then that digital currency is no good.
Correct.
So it has to be able to protect itself from hackers. Bitcoin was the first one to be able to do that because it protects itself with encryption.
Yes.
But it still has some weaknesses when it comes to scalability and yeah. the fact that more people use it, the slower it gets. But yeah, you've got to be able to take on nuclear bombs and still exist.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the currency really is no good.
Yeah. Does a currency like this have to be international?
Well, it's hard not to make it international
mm-hmm.
because if there's no government running it,
right.
then what's going to stop people from using it? And
mm-hmm.
it's not tied to any kind of local thing.
Right.
So it seems like the world is kind of looking for a global currency.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin was the first candidate, and it has
yeah.
failed, unfortunately.
It has. Will there be a different balance between credit card usage and another system that represents something else besides that credit card cash deal?
Yeah, I'm certain there will. If, of course, credit cards allow you to borrow money that you don't have.
Yeah.
and we'll probably still need that regardless.
Yeah, but it's also a method of payment, but sometimes a shaky one.
That's right. When you have a credit card or a debit card, the money that you own is actually supposed to be referencing some kind of dollars in some vault somewhere.
Right, right.
And the banks in the background have to keep track and make sure they know who's got who.
Yes.
And it's possible to do something called identity theft in which you pretend like you're the one that owns that money. With digital money like Bitcoin or with Cloudcoin, there's no reference to anything. It's like cash.
Right.
And so you don't have to worry about identity theft and losing, not having to figure out who's got what.
So in other words, a conversion is taking place with your system.
Well, the conversion, I guess, you've got, there's the dollar system and then there's the Cloudcoin system.
Mm-hmm.
They're completely separate. And if you want to move money back and forth, you have to exchange it.
Right. That's, yes. And, obviously, in order to initiate it at all and fund, you would do that. Go on.
You can actually, Cloudcoin is spent into existence.
Uh-huh.
And so you can actually, trade goods and services besides money and get it.
Yeah. Can Cloudcoin grow in its value within itself?
Yes. And so we think that monetary systems have like an energy level.
Yes.
And it's based on how many people are willing to take it and how many people are willing to work for it.
Right.
And we think that that's going to grow as time goes by.
Interesting. Different and interesting. How would one get more information on this system and its ramifications and its development?
We've got some educational campaigns going on, and we do have a site called digitalfrontiernews.com. And if you sign up for their newsletter, you get my book, Beyond Bitcoin, The Future of Digital Currency, for free, as well as 5 free cloud coins, and you can try that out and see what it's like.
Wow.
But if you wanted to buy some, you could just Google buy cloud coins. You'll find people that sell them all over the world.
Interesting stuff, I must say. It's almost like creating a new language, isn't it?
It is. It's really a big discovery, and it's probably going to have some profound impact on human civilization because money is so important in all of our decision making.
Yes, it is. It's more than important. It is our decision making.
That's right. You're right. It's a command and control system.
Yeah, it kind of is. And every day, it becomes more obvious that that is the underlying thing to all existence. Actually, to be honest with you, and comfort, existence, necessity, survival, you name it.
We need money to help us to economize, so we can make the decisions that are the least expensive, and so we can figure out what's the best place in the economy for us as far as what kind of work we should do.
Interesting. Well, Stephen, thank you so much for your time today. One more time, the place we can go to learn more.
Sure. DigitalFrontierNews.com. And Digital Frontier News, you get my book and 5 free cloud coins.
Good deal. Thank you so much. We'll talk again.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm going to use my 5 free cloud coins to buy a turkey leg at the Renaissance Fair. Mm-hmm. Sure. Why not, huh? What else am I going to do with them? Have yourselves a wonderful day. Will you join me again tomorrow? Yeah? Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.